and I see my Savior's face. I will offer him 10,000 years of praise. Then I'll find that special one in whose life I saw God's Son, and through tears of joy with trembling lips these words I'll say, I saw Jesus in you, I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said, I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw his care, I could see his love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you. When I stand before my Father to receive my life's reward, and my soul is bathed in God's eternal day, when this race on earth is run, and God sees the works I've done, more than anything I long to hear my Father say, I saw Jesus in you, I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said, I saw Jesus in you.
Mrs. Payne, I'm going to use this here, if that's all right, because I'll probably do a little walking around, a little object lesson tonight as well, and I'm not going to reinvent the wheel tonight, so nothing you're going to hear is something that's brand spanking new, be new to me, I guess, but the words from my mouth anyway, but I'm just reiterating what our pastor has taught us, and I'll tell you what, we have a great pastor and a great leader of our church, and been on vacation and been different places, you know exactly what I mean. You know how it is going into places and you feel like you're at the wrong place or you're somewhere where, and then you'd see different things. We were out in the Midwest, out of the church. I feel like I haven't been in church on a Wednesday night in forever here. People have been asking me if I'm visiting, am I just... do they still pay me? I don't know. You know, I don't know how exactly to answer that. If we're going back, I mean, on a Wednesday night, the first Wednesday night going back would have been kindergarten graduation, so it was a little bit different that Wednesday night. The next one we were on senior trip. The one after that, I'm even got to remember here. The next one after that, I was in Iowa preaching at a camp. It was a great blessing. Had 5 saved and over 100 decisions just from primary, junior, over 90 something kids. So that was a blessing, opportunity to preach there, and then. Had vacation and a chance to get away for a little bit and then came back to primary camp here. So a little bit different get up even last week, but I was in the services last week, but I haven't been on the platform, I guess, going on about 6 weeks. So has been a little different. My name is Mike Bragg, and I am part of the staff here. Those that don't know me, I'm just not visiting through. So, but it is a joy tonight and to be able to preach. I do want to thank our preacher for the opportunity allowing me to preach, and it is a joy just to be able to stand in the pulpit with a man of God that I get to serve on underneath, and you know, there's only a couple of us, I guess, that get to see him throughout the week, the day, daily routine that he keeps, and it amazes me. I can't even imagine the hours, you know, that it was behind it. And so we have a great preacher, and I just wanted to say thank you to him. I know he's not here tonight, but say thank you to him. Mark chapter 4 is where we're going to be at, and read verse 1. And for sake of time, I know I told Brother Britt if he gave me $20, I'd be done before 8 o'clock, but he said he didn't have change for a 50. I said, well, that'll work. I'll be done at 8:30 then, or 7:30, 7 here in a minute. So the title of the message may be a little bit different, but let me get in the reading here. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. This is Jesus here speaking. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell in stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. I will skip down to verse number 13, if we can go there. 13 is the same chapter. It says there, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they had heard the word immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endured but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I want to preach a message tonight, maybe a little bit different than what I've heard, maybe a little different than what you've heard. I'm not going to go down the road of sowing seed in the right direction. I think we've all probably heard that, putting ground or putting our seed or putting forth a Christian life on good ground. And I think I've heard that. I've heard a lot of different messages about that. In fact, I have a message here. I think our preacher preached from seed to fruit. And so I've heard a lot of different types of messages, but I want to look at a couple of those different words from chapter 4, verse 5, and then from chapter 4, also in verse number 16, where it talks about stony ground. I want to talk about stony ground, and I want to talk, the title of the message is Ripping Out or Rolling Over. Ripping Out or Rolling Over. And let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you bless the message. I pray that the thought tonight would be clear and plain. Lord, I pray that you get the messenger out of the way so the message would get to the people tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bless. Lord, I pray that you would take away, or people could take away the message tonight, be a blessing to them. And Lord, I pray that all be done to your glory and honor. We'll give you all the praise. In your name we pray. Amen. I got a note on Tuesday morning that said, Mike, be ready. I'm 90% sure that I'll be here Wednesday night, but I'm 10% sure that I may not be there. And I knew my luck, so I was planning on the 10%. I kind of knew it was going to be me on Wednesday night, so I kind of prepared that way. And thankfully, I just got back, like I said, from camp. So for me, it was, I had 7 messages that were preached in 4 days. So I had a little bit of time of preparation. And so the message developed tonight actually came from one of the messages I preached out there in camp. And for those that just got back from junior camp, you know they're theme this year is harvest days or harvest time. And so I preached the theme along those lines when I was out there at camp. And I back to my, I didn't finish my story. We were out there in Ohio the other a few weeks ago, and we stopped in to visit with the juniors and seniors. And my wife and I were sitting, kind of towards the back. And, you know, when you're in the church on staff at a place and you just begin to notice things that our preacher just, if that was allowed, he would go, or he'd go nuts. I mean, if he saw it, he'd go crazy. He just, there was no way that's going to take place. And I just kept saying, he wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have. Now, their pastor was out of town and everything, and the assistant was there, and he did a great job, did a wonderful job. But there were just different things going on in the sound booth and different people up and moving around, and it was just, to me, it was very distracting. It really was very distracting. I just thought, thank the Lord that I have the preacher I have and go to the church I go to, because I don't know if I could stand and just distract. It was very distracting. Tonight's message, like I said, is going to go towards those people, maybe Christians. I know that the teenagers are away, but If the young people will listen up tonight, at the end of the message, got an object lesson. I think will be a blessing to you all, and hopefully to the adults as well. I think it will. Probably the first part of the message will go that direction. I remember as a young boy having an older brother, and older brothers are always mischievous, I guess is probably the proper term to say about older brothers. My sister's here to account for it. So my brother was one who just enjoyed antagonizing. Probably the better word for it. Antagonist is what he was. And one time, my dad had given us some chores to do for the day, and he had gone to work, and that's kind of the routine for us. It was maybe through the week things that we had to get done, but especially that day, there was something we had to get done. And my dad, or we enjoyed planting a garden. One of the things we did together as a family, we put a garden. I think it's good to work. There's nothing wrong with getting your kids out young. I was out in the yard the other day with my kids, and they were pulling weeds, and it was good to be out there. But my dad told us, he said, get out there and get the weeds. Well, I was young. I was probably 6, 7, 8 years old. I can't remember exactly. Somewhere in that age group. And so my brother had told me, he said, now, there's a specific way to take and get things out of the garden. There's a certain way to do it. And I see, of course, younger brother, I'm listening to the older brother, his wisdom. I don't know why, but I was listening to what he was getting ready to impart to me. And so here I am as a lamb getting ready to go to the slaughter. And I'm just hanging on everything he's getting ready to tell me. And he says, now, you have to take the first layer of soil off. If you really want a good, dad, I think he's done in the past is he takes the first layer of soil off. That's what he does. So I get out there, start working. Of course, he's sitting over on the side. And I'm probably an hour or so into this, and I'm laboring. I am, getting the garden had already been kind of started. The plot was there from the year past, and so here I am, and I'm taking a couple inches off the top of the soil going down for the garden, and all my dad had told him was just to get the rocks out of there. All I wanted is get the rocks out of there. Take the rocks that are in the garden and get them out. That's all he wanted. But my brother told me, you got to take the top soil off. So, of course, we got home, it was a little different story than what it was told to me when I got the story from my brother. Hallelujah. Amen. So, he tells me to take the soil off, and I do, as an older brother or younger brother to an older brother, sure, no problem. I'll take care of it. And he goes off and does something else. Of course, my dad gets home, and what are you doing? That was the first thing. What are you doing? Because they had to have been wheelbarrows full off to the side. We're talking, we had big gardens, so it was off to the side. And he was hot. He was mad. And I remember my brother being that way. And rocks is what I'm getting at is, he really only wanted us to do is just get rid of the rocks. That's all he asked us to do is to get rid of the rocks that are in there. Get rid of them. Pull them out. Rip them out. I remember I grew up on working on a farm, and I baled hay in the summertime. Hallelujah, baling hay. And thankful, I'd love this time of year right now. If it was baling hay time right now, this is no problem. It was when it got in the 90s, and Brother Payne knows all about baling hay down there. Whew, it was hot. I used to wear a cowboy hat, leather gloves, and a long sleeve shirt, because if you know anything about baling hay, it itches. Itches. And so I get out there, and the guy that was running the tractor, his name was Darwin. I think it was fitting because he thought evolution was me, because that way I could just work faster or something. I don't know. He was 84 years old, and he worked circles around me. The guy was unbelievable. And he'd get on the tractor, and as those who know, the time of cutting the harvest, of course, you'd cut the hay. And then if the hay was still wet, you'd tether the hay, and that would make sure that it gets a little drier. And then you'd, put it in rows and make sure the rows and rake it and get it in the proper row. And then you'd come back with a baler. And all that's changed now. They have self-balers, and everything has changed since then. But I remember being on the back of the wagon and rolling down the back of the wagon, and several times on the back of that wagon. And he would just turn around, and I got to a point where I knew what was coming. And he was about to roll over a huge rock, or he was coming to the point of he was going to hit a huge rock, or maybe a hole where a rock once was. And he would just start grinning, and I knew what was going to happen. There was going to be some pain, okay? Some infliction of pain, as I used to call it, we used to call it in the back, it was a bone crusher, because your knees would wobble, your jaw would shake, and everything about you, it would, you know, just reverberate. And he would laugh. Oh, he would laugh. He'd think it's the greatest thing. But I'll never forget going through the field, and at the beginning or before we would even, he would even plant a new field or something like that, we'd go through, we'd get rid of the rocks. We'd have to get the rocks out of the field. I mean, that was common sense. You cleared up the rocks, and a lot of times you'll see in the field around here, you'll see over in a corner, just a mound of rocks off to the side where the farmer maybe has tilled it up and he's found a rock or something along the way, and he had to get it out. So tonight, like I said, I just want to talk about a couple of areas. One of the areas I'm going to talk about tonight in this area of ripping out, and then I'll get to the part of rolling over, but ripping out. Let me start with that, ripping out. We need to rip some things out in our Christian life. In my own Christian life, I'm preaching to me tonight. We need to rip some. Number one, I think the biggest thing that we deal with as Christians that needs to be ripped out is pride. We all got a little bit of pride in us. And Brother Don worked in the Christian school. You know that pride's there. You know, you work with young people in sports or any education or any, you know, athletically, pride begins to really show itself real quick. And my dad had a few remedies for that, but I will refrain from telling them from the pulpit. Pride. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate." Proverbs 11:2 said, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." Proverbs 13 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom." Proverbs 14:3 says, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." Proverbs 16:18 said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And then Proverbs 29:23 says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." I'm talking about tonight is pride. We all have a problem with something, and I know I do at times, and I get pride that wells up. Pride that comes in my life. There's times where I have to rip out some pride that gets in my life. I don't know about you, but there's times where I have to be, as that verse talks about, pushed down to a lowly. I have to get a point where it needs to be a little lower. And facing some things that we've heard just in the last few hours here about our great nation of this gay rights, it's pushed things to the degree. And I don't know about you, but it's time to knock some pride off and to stand up and say, hey, we're going to stop and we're going to stand here and we're not going to let this go any further. Somebody's going to have to stand up. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be the one, if it's me and me alone, I'm going to stand up and say, this is not going to happen. If it comes to this place, it's not going to happen. Whether it means imprisonment, whatever it may mean, folks, we're going to have to knock some pride off. We have to stand up and say, you know what? It's not going to happen. We're not going to stand by and let it go. Pride can create a massive stumbling block. It can come a massive stumbling block in my life and in your life. Pride comes in, and I remember the message that Brother Ogden preached at the first night, and he talked about I. And that middle letter there, that I, creeps in. We all got a little bit of I in us tonight. All got a little bit of that around. I'll never forget, we were just boys, my brother and I, and my dad being a pastor of a church, he would often get phone calls at church, and I know Brother Caleb can relate to this, about people that are needing somebody to speak at a funeral. And you never know how that's really going to go. You never know what the result or who's really there and what the situation. Well, in that particular funeral, the funeral home director knew my dad, and he called my dad and said, this family needs somebody to speak at the funeral. And he said, would you be willing to speak? And my dad said, sure, I'd love to. He said, you know, of course, present the gospel. He said, oh, no, that's fine. And then he said, do you have anybody that would be willing to be pallbearers? And, you know, it was middle of the work week, and Dad said, well, I really don't have anybody. He said, but I got two sons. Slave labor, that's me, yes. I was ready to go. Yes, and so my brother and I got delegated to be a part of pallbearers. So we go to, of course, a funeral, and, of course, at the time, we were so happy and enthusiastic about going. And yes, we had not a bit of remorse or anything, regret of going. But we get there, and to my amazement, we walk in, and there's probably 15 or 20 guys just in a circle in one corner. And I looked at my brother, and I said, why do they need us? They got 15, 20 guys standing over there. Why are we here? We were just teenagers, young guys. I mean, so why do they need us? Come to find out that the family had some issues going on, and somebody made somebody else mad, and then it began to become a battle between them, and then not only did pride get in there, but some bitterness got in there. My brother and I stood there. Saddest thing I've ever seen is a funeral when both sides, neither one, as you know, the funeral ended, closed the casket, walked out different ways, and you know, nothing was ever said to either side. Nobody came forward. There's no, you know, last words. There was no last respect. Nothing. And I remember telling my brother and my dad telling us, really, is he said, you know, I said, that's a sad thing. And my dad said, that's what bitterness, that's what pride will do. That's what bitterness and that's what pride. You know, we need to rip that out. Rip it out. You know, the word, I looked in the dictionary, rip means to cut out or tear apart in a tough or vigorous manner. I like that. Kind of reminds me of football. You know, that's tough or rigorous. Rip it out, right? Maybe this rip we're talking about means just, it needs to, the acronym there needs just to rest in peace. That's all that needs to happen. Rest in peace. Let it go. Rip it out, because that's bitterness. The second one is bitterness. Proverbs 14:10a says, the heart knoweth his own bitterness. Turn to Romans chapter 3, if you will. Romans chapter 3, verse number 14. Familiar passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 3, verse 14. It says there, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. I want to read on to verse 18. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Bitterness. Some of the most hard people, I guess, if you want to say that, are people who have gotten bitter. They've gotten bitter at a situation that's happened in their life. Maybe somebody's mistreated them. Maybe somebody's wrongly accused them. Maybe somebody's done something against them. And bitterness begins to set in. And it just begins to root up. And it just begins to manifest. And it gets, as a sore does, becomes a blister. And eventually that blister gets infected. And that thing just keeps going and keeps going. Folks, we need to rip it out. Tonight we need to rip out bitterness. There was a time in my life where, I guess a few people know, there was a time in my life that I really thought that going in the ministry was not for me. I thought, there's no way. The things that I'd heard people talk about my dad, things that I said, if that's the way it is, I don't want anything to do with the ministry. I have nothing. And I began to get bitter. I began to get bitter at God. I began to get bitter and say, if this is it, I began to rebel. And for a period of time in my life, I'm not proud of. And there was a period of time where I just began, bitterness had set in. Bitterness of the situation. Boy, I saw how other people had it. Thought, man, that, why can't that be me? Why can't that be something for me in my life? And I began to get bitter. And bitterness just began to well up. Bitterness. Number three, and this is for the young people tonight. And this isn't a physical, this is more a spiritual here. Rip out your heart. Rip out your heart, all right? Not physical. Please don't not here tonight, please. Rip out your heart, all right? Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I like this part. And the Lord searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Young people, give God your heart. Please give God your heart. At the age your age, give God your heart. Give Him exactly what He deserves. He deserves your heart. Give Him to somebody that can take care of it. Give it to your mom and dad. Give it to somebody that is going to keep it. We're going to come back to this in a little bit, but give God your heart. Again, use my own illustration in my life. There was a time, like I said, where I had gone away from God a little bit, and then I'd gone on to Bible college, Really, my plan was only going to be there to stay for a year. And I was dating a girl who wasn't my wife at the time. And there came a time where there was a decision that needed to be made. And my dad called me up on the phone and said, "Son," he said, "the best thing for you to do right now is just to drop the girl that you're dating. And you know, I think that's the best thing for you." And I'm glad, looking back, that I gave my dad my heart a long time ago. A long time ago, I decided the decision's not going to be mine to make in this decision. God had the right person to me, for me. 9 years today, hallelujah, 9 years today is our anniversary. 4 kids later, I married God's will for my life. The heart. I've seen too many people. Brother Don, you've seen a lot of people in the school here go through. And that's one of the things that I was thinking about in the message tonight. We've had a lot of young people that have stayed. That have stayed. And it's great to see them sitting with their parents, graduated here. It's a great thing. Give your heart to God. Give your heart to Jesus. Give it to Him. He's going to take it. He's going to do things you'd never imagine. But you're going to have to get some things out. There's going to have to be some rocks that are going to have to be pulled out. You're going to have to get that stony ground ripped up. But you know what? There's sometimes when some of those rocks you just can't get rid of. You just can't move some of them. I've been out in the field and got to a rock where there was nothing going to take that out except to come along in a big old truck. There was nothing taking that rock out. There was no way I was going to get out. And those rocks get embedded. They get deep. And they're there for a while. You know, some of them God just wants to test us with. They can't be ripped out. Some of them we just got to roll over. You can't rip them out, but you need to roll them over. You need to get past them. You need to get through them. The last I checked, the devil's still out there. He's still a roaring lion. He's still walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's still running about looking for somebody that he can destroy. He's still there. His snares are still around. So maybe there are some areas that you need to roll over and some rocks. I know in my life I had to get over some. First of all was fear. Fear. Turn your Bibles to Joshua 24, if you will. Joshua 24. One of the things that drives me nuts is, not as popular as today as it used to be when I was growing up, but guys used to have those bumper stickers that said, "No fear." I used to want to take, I had a Dodge Ram truck, red, and on the front of it, I had this big steel bar. I always saw those things and wanted to just ram my truck right into them. I don't, it's just something about me just said, "Fear? Fear this. I'm going to push my truck right into your vehicle." The fear of the Lord, maybe hit him upside the head is what they needed. Some of them, I mean, didn't know what fear is. Joshua 24, though, verse 14 says, "Now therefore fear the Lord." The fear we've learned from preacher, that's a choice. The fear there's a choice. The fear of a choice. You know, you're going to have to make a decision where you're going to roll over that rock of fear. You're going to get past it. Because there's going to be fear out there. There's going to be decisions that you don't know which way to turn. You don't know what to do. God just said, keep moving. Roll that thing. Go over it. Put it in four low and go over. You're going to have to use. And it says, "Serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Talk about the Israelites here. And it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We're going to serve God. We're not going to serve the devil, but we're going to serve God. That's one of the areas. The other area I think that's also that affects us sometimes is doubt. I think doubt sometimes just slips in. We stand there and, "Well, I don't, God, can you really do it? I know you did it before, but can you do it really? Can you do it again? I'm facing this bill this month. I don't know. I don't know if I can handle it." The devil begins to let doubt come in. We're going to have to roll over. We're going to have to roll over it. Last time I checked, God's still on the throne. He's still there. He's still the one that holds tomorrow. We're still leaning on those everlasting arms, I hope. Doubt comes in. Another one, the last one, and we'll get the object lesson finished tonight. Unbelief. Unbelief. Sometimes in the area of unbelief. And again, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same one He was for the day that I got saved. He's the same one the day that when He saved you. He's the same God. Some of these things we're just going to have to roll, or some need to be ripped out. I don't know about you, but there are some areas I needed ripped out in my life. There's others that I didn't mention, I'm sure. There's things that maybe hit you, but I know a couple of them that really influenced me for a while. I had to get rid of pride, knock that out of there. And then I had to get rid of bitterness because it had set in. People had wronged me, said some things against me. You've got to get that. You've got to get rid of it. It's got to be ripped out. It's not going to help you in your life. Christian walk with God, bitterness is not going to help. It's not going to help you. And then you're going to have to rip your heart out, young people, and give it to God. You're going to have to rip your heart out and give it to God. I'll illustrate and then I'll close tonight and brought a little object lesson with me for tonight. Hopefully I don't spill it all over. I'll come down here, make it a little easier for young people to see. But if I could tonight, I'd like to illustrate this glass as being our life. Just a clear glass of water. There's not anything in it. It looks good to drink. Just a clear glass of water. This is us tonight. From young to old, this is all of us. We start at a young age, just like this. The God of heaven wants to use us. He wants to take us. He wants to mold us. He wants to do things with us. But the devil comes along and he begins to put rocks in him. He begins to... Maybe sin enters in and a little pride comes in. We get pride right there, right in the middle of our life. Right there, front and center. Everybody can see it. But it's there. Pride's there. Maybe something else. Maybe it's a little bit of fear comes in. The longer we get, the older we get, fear shows up, doubt settles. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's we just have a problem with our tongue. Maybe it's sin of we just can't forgive people. I don't know what it is. I don't know what maybe your problem, something that you know what it is. I know what it is for me in my life. And then, sure enough, we look and, man, the glass that used to be a clean glass, now it's not the same that it used to be. There's rocks in there. There's rocks that have developed. And you know, we begin to get in the Bible, and the older we get, we begin to pour and the Word of God in us. The Bible says, now you're clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. And we get into clean, we begin to pour out. You know, that water, that clean water, the Word of God, it cleans things up, makes it look a lot better. And if there was maybe some dirt on there, we'd probably pour and get all that dirt off of those rocks, but couldn't find any dirty rocks today. But they'd all get washed off with all the rainwater today. So it'd be all clean, but there's still rocks down there. There's still rocks that have manifested in our life. There's still rocks that, you know, the water pushed aside a little bit, maybe even buried them a little deeper, but they're still there. They're still in our life. The ideal thing, Brother Caleb, if you can come up here, and if I can use David as well. The ideal thing for us as Christians is to get them out when you're young. You know, Brother Caleb, if you will, if you can try and pull one of those rocks out, if you can do it. And see, Brother Caleb's hand is just a little too big. You can't quite reach any of the rocks. In fact, Brother Caleb is about my age, 30 years old, and sorry about getting your hand wet there, brother, but he can't quite reach them. And the older he gets, like my dad, bust a knuckle, something else, the fatter the hand gets, right? That's how it works. And but in our Christian life, it's harder to get them out. It's harder to get the rocks out. If you look at me, young people, David, stick your hand in there, will you? Can you reach out and get you a rock out? Here, hold on. Get them all wet everywhere. That's all right. Go ahead. You pull them out, get them all in me. Let you get them all out of there. Notice that David's hand's able to get them all out. Notice that his hand can pull every rock that's there. Notice that his hand gets it clean again because he didn't let it establish when he was young. He ripped out the rocks. He got rid of them. You know what he needs to do with the clean glass? He needs to hand it to this guy right here. Let him hold it. Let him be the one that manages it. Let him be the one that has it. So that when the devil comes back and says, David, why don't you put another rock in? Dad says, no way, that's not going in there. That's not happening. There's a hedge. There's a hedge that's developed. There's somebody that's there. Tell me, thank you, fellas. Put the rocks back in there, if you will. Thank you, David. I'm sure you want to throw them at your brother right now. But there's a hedge. There's something that's there. Notice that when Brother Caleb got to the point, it was hard to get out. If I stuck my hand, it'd be the same thing. It's hard to get those rocks out when you get older. Young people, get out the rocks. Get rid of the rocks. Clear the rocks out. Say, can God still use me? Yeah, He can still use you, but you're going to have to roll some of them over. It's going to be a bumpy trail along the way. If you let bitterness settle in, if you let pride in, it's going to be a bumpy road. It's going to be a long road to hoe. So bow our heads and close our eyes for the invitation tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for again the opportunity to speak. Lord, I pray that again the message that was delivered tonight was clear for the young enough, the youngest in here to the oldest. Lord, I pray. I know even in my life, as I mentioned tonight, there's some things that I needed to get rid of. Lord, I don't know in this size crowd tonight, maybe there's somebody that doesn't know for sure, they're 100% sure they're going to heaven. Tonight, Lord, I pray that be the night of their salvation. Maybe it's just something they need to get right. Lord, I pray you bless the invitation. In your name we pray. Amen. As the instruments play, you'll come tonight. Get some of these things out. Maybe you need to be saved tonight. Maybe you're not 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven. Say, Brother Bragg, I'd like to be saved. Brother Caleb's down front. Maybe you need to come down with Mom and Dad. Say, I need to give my heart to you, to Jesus. I need to put you first in my life. I don't want bitterness. I don't want pride to manifest itself.